Our topic this weekend is God's Word and God's Move. God's Word and God's Move. In a sense, we began to cover God's move first. The first two outlines that you have in your booklet are more related to that matter of God's move. And the last two outlines, number 3 and 4, and incidentally, we're coming to number 3 tonight, and of course, number 4 will be tomorrow morning. So you can get to that page, number 3, page 3, or outline 3, page 5, outline 3. But of course, last night, we began our fellowship and our emphasis on the matter of God's Word, of God's Word. And I'd like to firstly explain to you why or how this burden came to us, why we're covering this matter, and why we put these two phrases in this order. First, it is God's Word. Then, God's move. God's Word is first. So I'd like to actually show you a few verses that are not necessarily in your outline. And I hope that through these, looking at these few verses, I could impress you a little bit with the link between God's Word and God's move. If I were you, I would have written that sentence down. There is, maybe this sentence, there is a link between God's Word and God's move. There's a link. Whether you realize it or not, we began to see that link last night. And our brother mentioned at least one or two of the verses that I'm going to show you now, but he didn't highlight the references. I want to highlight those references to you. Okay, are we ready? Yeah. Thank you. God's Word and God's move. That's worthy to read together. How about? Go.
God's Word and God's move.
God's Word and God's move. Okay. Genesis 1:3. Let's read together. Go.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Of course, this verse does not have the word. You understand? But it's speaking about God's Word because it says, God said. God said. Imagine if you were there. I don't know. Can we say that day? I guess we can say that day. This was the first day. So we're already in time. Okay, because with God, sometimes you can't talk about that day because he was an eternity and he stepped into time. Right? Right. But now we're talking about time, that day. Imagine you were there that day, right next to God, and then God said, wouldn't that be something? When God speaks, things happen. There wasn't. But God just said, and there was.
Amen.
God can do that.
Amen.
God's word can do that. You know, there's a verse, and I don't have it in this list, but it's in the New Testament. In the New Testament. Remember, please remember this phrase that Brother Peter mentioned that comes from Augustine.
Yeah.
That, remember that phrase? It was toward the end of his speaking. He said, the Old Testament, the New Testament, here we go. The New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is explained in the New. That's not how he said it, but that's the phrase. The New Testament is hidden in the Old. Old Testament. And the Old Testament is explained in the New. So there's this connection. This is part of the Bible study that he was talking about. So here's a verse. Here's a verse. It talks about light. And God said, let there be light. Light. Okay, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says this. The God who said, out of darkness, light shall shine, is the one who shined into their hearts. So Paul took this verse and applied it to the New Testament believer.
Right.
And so he was saying that every one of us who were unbelievers at once upon a time.
Right.
Once upon a time, everyone here was not a Christian, was not a believer. And on a certain day, of course, when you're very young and you grow up in a Christian family, I found out many of you don't know the exact day. How many of you do know the exact day that you got saved? How many of you can pin, you know the date that you got saved? Yeah. See, not a majority. Not a majority. I can tell you the place, the date, almost the time. I was 7. I told most of you this before. I'm not going to get into that. I love telling that story too much, and then it'll take up all my time. I told you it was Friday the 13th, right?
Yeah.
Friday the 13th. So my lucky day. Friday, July 13th, 1965. When were you born?
82.
Ha ha. 1965. On the second floor, in our second floor apartment, in my sister's bedroom at 1118 Putnam Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. That moment when she said, do you want to pray? I said, uh-huh. I was 7. Remember, I was 7. I was like, uh-huh. And she says, come. We were in the dining room. She said, come, come. And she led me to her bedroom. And we both knelt down next to her bed. And she said, pray what I pray. And so I prayed. Do you know what happened to me? The God who said, out of darkness, light shall shine, was the one who shined into this little boy's heart. Shine into my heart.
Amen.
Me! My heart! That same God, the God who said that, the God who said that, himself shined. Which means what? He is the real light.
Amen.
He's the real light, and he shined into this dark heart. But you know how? Do you know why? Because my sister, she was 10 years older than I. She was still 16, but almost 17. My sister preached the word to me. She preached the Bible to me.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you the verses that she used, especially two verses, two portions. I remember. I was seven, but I remember that night as if it was last night. And she used Luke 15. Luke 15, the story of the man that had 100 sheep and lost one. That story. And that verse, you know when it happened? I know when it happened. I can remember now exactly when it happened. It was when she told me, we just read that verse, that when the man found the sheep, he took the sheep on his shoulders. That's when it happened, actually. Because she was using this. I told you a story. I'm sorry. Many of you heard this. I don't want to bore you. But she was using this flannel graph, where you know, it's like, huh?
Felt board.
Yeah, like a felt board, and then you put things on it. It kind of sticks, the Velcro concept. And then you take it off. And then she had a man and a sheep. Then she took them both off, and then she put the picture of the man holding a sheep. You know, so the sheep was here, and he was holding. And she said to me this. She said, "That's what Jesus was doing with you on the cross." And I got a picture of Jesus on the cross, and I was on his shoulder. That at that moment, God shined in my heart. And I felt like, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it that he would do that for me. He went to the cross for me. I was only seven, but I knew. He died on the cross for me.
Amen.
I saw it. I heard it since I was like a toddler. But that moment, like it's like, can you imagine a seven-year-old little boy can see that Jesus died for him?
Amen.
That changed my life. Because the God who said, out of darkness light shall shine, shined into my heart. But why? This is the link. Because she shared that verse with me. The verse. And then, after that, she took another thing. How did I do this? I told you I'm not going to tell you the story. But then I ended up telling you the story. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway, it was a heart. Okay, here. It was a heart. She took out all the sheep and the men, put the heart. And the heart had a door. And she opened the door. You know, it had a little flap. Opened the door. There's a little man in there. She said, "That's Jesus in your heart. Jesus wants to get in your heart." And then she, you know what verse she used? Revelation 3:20. That I got saved on Revelation 3:20. It says, do you know what that verse says? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him and feast with him." I think the recovery version might say dine. King James says, "Feast with him and he with me." So I found out I could open the door of my heart to Jesus. Light shined. Then when she said, "Do you want to receive the Lord Jesus in your heart?" Yes. Why? Because the word of God operated on me as she was talking to me. I did not wake up that day thinking, "I think tonight I'll receive Jesus." I had no thought. Actually, before I started speaking with her, I was watching a television show. That's my favorite show of the whole week. Not telling you what it is. It was. But like that was my, you know when it's, if how many of you have a favorite show? You have a favorite show. Okay. But you know, you look forward to. And those were the days before you could video anything. So if you miss it, you miss it. Can you imagine the suffering? Those are gone days. But anyway, so I was like laser beam focused on my show. And then she, at 8:15, I know exactly, 8:15, I went to get snack. That's what you do with commercials. You can't, you know, stop, skip. You know, it's there. So, I said, what are you doing? And then the word did something to me. It was by the word of God that night God operated on me. Okay, another one. Hebrews 11:3. Let's read this, please.
By faith we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not come into being out of things which appear.
By faith, we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of God. That verse is the video from last night.
Yeah.
Remember the video? All that we saw? From the earth. Well, no, actually it started, you know, with the planets. We saw the planets bigger, 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 bigger. Then in our galaxy, in our solar system, in our galaxy. And then showed you we're one dot in that whole thing. All of that was framed by the word of God.
Amen.
We talked about, you know, last night Brother Peter asked you about juggling. How many can juggle this and that, whatever. But God doesn't have to do this and that and juggle.
No.
He just speaks. And it is.
Amen.
And his word holds it all together.
Wow.
His word holds it all together. That's the power of the word of God. The spoken word of God. Psalm 33:9. Please read.
For he spoke and it was. He commanded and it stood.
Oh, I really would encourage you, maybe tomorrow morning, pray over this verse. Have fun praying over this verse. He spoke, and it was. He spoke, and it was.
Amen.
Do you know when he speaks, it is?
Amen.
When he speaks, it is.
Amen.
He commanded, and it stood.
Amen.
God's word has that authority and power. Let's read this one. Hebrews 4:12.
For the word of God is living and operative, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
The word of God is living and operative. How about we say that phrase together? For the word of God is living
and operative.
The word of God is living and operative. That's why we are so burdened that you would read the Bible every day. If you take anything away from this weekend, take this away, a chapter a day. At least a chapter a day. Read a chapter a day. And then trust that that chapter, which is the word of God, it'll take over. It'll start to operate. It will work on you. It will operate on you. It is living. Just read it. You don't have to feel it. Very often, our contact with the word is based on feeling, sensation. Don't do that. Just read it in faith. Sometimes gives you feeling. Most times not. But every time operates. And sometimes it'll operate later. You know, it's very interesting to me. Since I was in elementary school, I was in meetings where people told us, read the Bible, read the Bible. In junior high school, read the Bible, read the Bible. Then I came into the Lord's recovery. I was 14. Very interesting. When I came into the recovery, there wasn't that much emphasis to read the Bible. yet. Until actually we had a very big turmoil in the churches. When that happened, oh, Brother Lee told everybody, this happened because you didn't read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. Read the Bible. Actually, I think that he kind of took it for granted that all the brothers were helping the churches. Something so fundamental. He charged us, read the Bible, read through once a year. Anyway, I started this when I was in high school. And then I had like a break. I took a reading vacation for about a year and a half. I didn't do that on purpose. I just stopped reading. I don't even know why I stopped reading, but I know I did. How many of you ever started reading and then stopped reading? Yeah, okay, I expect it. Put your hands down. Okay, then you know what I did? You know what I did? I started reading where I left off the last time. Instead of starting in Genesis 1 again. I know one sister who read Genesis 7 times. And she kept stopping. And then would go back when she got inspired in a conference like this. She'd go back and read. I said, well, stop. Just read. You would have finished like half the Old Testament by now. Read. No, actually a third. About a third of the Old Testament. But anyway, you know what happened? I started to read where I left off like a year ago. And then when I started to read those chapters, actually it was in Deuteronomy, very interesting. The week after, I went to a conference like this. And you know what the conference was on? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 through 10, about the all-inclusive land. So, listen to this. If I had kept my Bible reading doing what I should have done, I would not have been in that exact point that weekend. So I messed up, but the Lord spoke to me anyway. I wonder if that ever happened to you. You didn't keep up, you didn't keep up, and then when you got inspired or remembered to start reading, you start reading, and then that's what in the meeting, the same verse. Or someone mentions, or you're reading a message, and that verse comes up. It's not supposed to sink that way because you messed up. Do you understand? But the Lord takes care of you anyway. The Word of God is living and operative. Oh, I was in a meeting one time. Could you help me for a second? Did you stand up with Peter last night? Were you standing up here?
No.
No, okay. Yeah. I don't want to do overkill in case, you know.
All right.
Yeah, okay. So I was in a meeting one time. I was serving. And there was a young brother next to me. He was in college. You in college?
No.
No, okay. Anyway, so just pretend you're in college for tonight. Okay, so he was a college brother. And so it was in the meeting, and then somebody shared. Wasn't me. It could have been Brother Dennis that shared that night. And then it was a young people's meeting. And, you know, there's a verse in the Bible. Actually, it's repeated a few times. And it says this. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. It's a verse in Isaiah. And it's repeated in Matthew. It says, a bruised reed. Do you know this verse? How many of you have ever heard this verse? Okay, not quite half. A bruised reed he will not break. And you know what a bruised reed? You know, reed, like a blade of grass, but tubular. A bruised reed he will... Isn't that the right word? Is that okay? Okay. A bruised reed he will not break. And smoking flax he will not quench. So that's also another, like a plant, but you can light it for a little fire. Okay. So it says that about the Lord. And so, okay, we're in the meeting. And the brother shares. And then he says, okay, let's have some sharing now. You know, testimonies. And I went like this. Watch. You're watching? I went like this. How many of you have ever gotten that from a serving one? How many of you? You got that, right? Okay. Yeah. You too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's S-O-E. Serving one elbow. Okay, sit down. But sometimes you get S-O-E serving when I like. How many of you ever got serving when I? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I did this. Listen. I was in the meeting, and it was, the brother said, okay, now let's have some sharing. You all share. And I went, when I went like this, that brother, he was in the meeting. He enjoyed the sharing from Brother Dennis. I think it may have been Brother Dennis. He enjoyed the sharing. And as soon as I went like this, he went. And something came to me. Bruised reed. Oh, you don't know. Those two words. Bruised reed. Those two words cut my heart. Bruised reed. You don't know what effect that had on me that night. Because I realized my brother is passing through something I didn't know. And at that night, frankly, I didn't care. I only cared for a good meeting. I only cared, hey, young people, come on, everybody share. It didn't matter what condition the Lord spoke to me. That meeting was not on Matthew. That meeting was not on Isaiah. That meeting was not had nothing to do with bruised reeds. Why could the Spirit speak that to me? Because I had read it before in the Bible. The Word of God is living and operative. If you read the Bible every day, whether you understand, don't understand, just read and hide the Word. Store the Word in your heart. That Word is living. One day, the Spirit will speak to you. The Spirit will speak to you. Right at the right time. You need that. I think you could give testimony, some of you, where the Lord encouraged you when you needed to be encouraged. When the Lord rebuked you, when nobody else could rebuke you. If somebody else would say something, you'd give excuses. But when the Lord speaks in your heart, there's nothing to say. The Word of God is living and operative. We're familiar with these verses. Let's read these. John 1, verses 1 and 14. Go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Who's this?
Jesus.
But it doesn't say the word, the name Jesus. Here, his name is?
Tabernacle.
No?
Word.
Tabernacle is action, what he did, right? His name is the Word of God. This is when he became a man. So this is the beginning of the New Testament. He came as the Word. Think about that. Jesus came, but the Bible says the Word of God came. Okay, let's look at this verse. This is Revelation 19:13. This is at the end of the Bible. Revelation 19, 20, 21, 22. Three more chapters. The Bible's over. At the end of the Bible and at the end time. Read this. Go. This verse, the context, is when the Lord returns to defeat the Antichrist. When he comes to defeat the Antichrist, he doesn't just come as Jesus. He comes as
the Word of God.
This matches consistently the whole New Testament. There was another time. Let's go back to Matthew. Jesus just got baptized. And then it says the Spirit thrust him into the wilderness. Do you know that story? Who comes?
Satan.
What does he do? How many times?
Three.
Tempts God, the Lord three times. And in the first temptation, right? Make the stones bread. What does it say? Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Can you imagine? Jesus as a man fought Satan with the Bible. Brothers and sisters, not, you know, and it's not like this. This is the Logos. You fight with Rhema. When, do you all understand that? I wondered last night, not for you, but for the junior hires, if they understood Logos, Rhema, what's that? You know, these are just the two Greek words that are translated into English as word. So in our Bible, in English, it's just the word, word. But in Greek, it's either logos or rhema, which means those things that our brother shared last night. You defeat the enemy when the word that's in you becomes living to you.
Amen.
So if you want to be ready, if you want to be ready for the onslaught, because the fight is coming. Dear brothers and sisters, we do believe, like the song says, we are now in the final stages. We're approaching the time of the Lord's coming. And he fights. He defeats Antichrist as the Word of God. That means something. There's an application there for you. Okay, let's come to the outline. That was my introduction. Do you see the link? God moves by his word. Even when the triune God was embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, his name is the Word. That move of God was by the Word. When God moves, he moves by the Word. So if you want to experience God's move, what do you need? You need to read the Word. You need to be in the Word. You need to let the Word get into you.
Amen.
Read the title to this outline. Eating.
Eating and digesting the Word of God.
Now I want to show you from Ezekiel. Where does this come from? From Ezekiel. For this, you need your Bible. For this, you need your Bible. Because point one says, in Ezekiel 2:8 through 3:4, the prophet Ezekiel ate the scroll and spoke with God's words. So please open to Ezekiel chapter 2. Sorry, we didn't print this for you. Right? We only printed Ezekiel 1. Is that right? But it's good for you to read the Bible directly. You have it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's start to read.
But
yes, please.
But
But you, Son of Man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you.
And I looked,
and there was a hand put forth toward me, and in it there was a scroll book, and he spread it before me, and it was written on the front and back, and on it were written lamentations, mourning, and woe. Then he said to me, Son of Man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me that scroll to eat. And he said to me, Son of Man, eat your stomach, and fill your inward parts with this scroll that I am giving you. And I ate it, and it was like honey to my mouth in its sweetness. Then he said to me, Son of Man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my word to them.
Ezekiel is seeing these visions. And so the Lord spoke to him and told him, open your mouth and eat what I give you. What kind of a thing is this? And then all of a sudden, what does he see? He sees a hand. And I looked, and there was a hand put forth toward me, and in it there was a scroll book. It's kind of like you're Ezekiel. And all of a sudden, you see a hand. I wish I could illustrate that. Like, I wouldn't be standing here, but a hand comes out. Wouldn't that be cool? And then, but in the hand, there's a scroll. It says, Son of Man, eat what I give you. Eat it.
This is my dinner.
Eat it. So he ate, I mean, he probably took it and ate it. But remember, in the Old Testament, it's pictures. What does that mean? Exactly. That means when the Lord speaks to you, you need to internalize it. You need to receive it. You need to amen it. You need to. You need to. What does it say? You need to feed your stomach and fill your inward parts.
Amen.
Sometimes we do feed our stomach, but we don't let the word fill our inward parts. And it doesn't have that much effect. Sometimes here in the conference, you feed your stomach. Like you get something, but when you get home, you don't let it fill your inward parts, so then you lose the effect. You have to learn to let the word dwell in your heart richly for it to have real effect. Okay, so there is this picture of eating the word. And so remember the other vision. The vision in chapter 1. What do we see there in chapter 1? That there's no Ezekiel chapter 1. He sees a wind and then cloud, fire. Wait, not so fast. Then in the cloud, it's fire. And then out of the fire comes this electrum. And then out comes four living creatures. Can you imagine what that was like for Ezekiel? Is this a dream? Is this a nightmare? What is this? And then each one has four faces. You know, we're all like, amen, I have to be an ox, and amen for the wings, and amen. But that's scary. That's like, ah! Don't you think so? I mean, thank the Lord for Ezekiel, that he wrote everything down, and he sent it. But imagine if you were, I might run. Lord has to find somebody else to give the vision to. But he ate the scroll. He received that vision. But then, four living creatures, faces, the wings, two sets, touching. Do they touch like this? Do they touch like this? We don't know exactly. Do they touch like this? It's wings. And then next to each one is a high an awesome wheel. And a wheel is for what? Moving. And it's a high and awesome wheel. This is a special move. And there are four of them, you know. It's not just one wheel. There's at least four wheels next to the four creatures. That shows God wants to move on the earth. But the wheel only appears when he has the living creatures. Which means he wants to move, but he won't do it unless someone on the earth cooperates. He's looking for someone to give him a way to move. And that principle never changes throughout the generations. Would you give him a way to move?
Amen.
Would you give him a way to move?
Amen.
In your home. In your home. Would you give him a way to move on your campus? In your school?
Amen.
Would you give him a way to move among your friends? A lot depends now on how you receive the word. You have to receive the word. The word will empower you. The word will move in you when you're with your friends. You need to receive the word. The word will equip you. The word will become your armament. The word will become your equipment. The word will become your tools to speak. And you don't know when you're going to need what. Just take it all in. Of course, firstly, you have to respect the word. You have to stand with the word. I'm sorry I could not be with you, the seniors, today, this afternoon. Dear young people, I heard there are 38, is that correct? 38 seniors. That's wonderful. Could you stand up just so we could see you, seniors? Oh my. It's almost like summer school and we didn't assign the seats. That's very good. This is very encouraging. Dear brothers and sisters, Your faith is going to be tested, if not already. But when you go there, those of you that go to university, your faith is going to be tested there. Stand with the word of God.
Amen.
Thank you. Please sit. Stand with the word of God. Stand with the word of God when and where it's not popular to stand with the word of God.
Amen.
Say amen to the word of God. But you have to read the Word of God.
Amen.
To know the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't know how much of this outline I'm actually going to cover. Well, let's at least read A and B. Sisters, A. Brothers, B.
After Ezekiel gave the scroll, Jehovah charged him to go to the house of Israel and speak with his words to them.
Roman 2 together.
According to the revelation of the Holy Bible, God's words are good for us to eat.
Amen. Sisters, A. Brothers, B.
When we eat God's word, his word becomes our heart's gladness and joy.
I'd like to know how many of you have ever had that experience. When you read the word, you got lifted up inside. How many of you have had that at least one time? Okay. How many of you have had that when you were prayer reading with others together? You experienced that uplifting. Okay. How many of you got that when you were alone reading? How many of you experienced that? Amen. You know, there's a verse. I think it's Psalm 3:3. Psalm 3:3. It says, "He is my glory and the one who lifts up my head." Is that right? Could somebody confirm that? Psalm 3:3.
"You, O Jehovah, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head."
Haha. "You, Jehovah, are my shield."
Are a shield
around me. "My glory and the one who lifts up my head." There's a song to that. You know, when you sing the word, you learn it right away. There's this little song. It says, "My glory and the lifter of my head. My glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield to me. My glory and the lifter of my head." You know what that means? Put your head down. He's the one who lifts up our head. Sometimes, you know, when you're sad, like the brother that I didn't shepherd, I shepherded in a bad way. I made his head. But the Lord, and he can do that to you when you read the word. He can lift up your head. Stand with the word of God. Romans 3.
"We need to heed the words of the Bible."
Amen. A. Amen. Let's jump to Romans 4.
"As we eat the Lord Jesus, we need to have proper spiritual digestion so that we eat, digest, and assimilate Christ to become his four living creatures who express and represent him."
See, here's the point. To become the four living creatures, so that the wheel can appear for God's move, we need the word. The word, when we have the living word, it brings us into a kind of situation that we can cooperate with God. Okay, I want to say a little something about these three guys, brothers, prophets. Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Okay, for this, I want to do a little study with you. It's take about 5 minutes. But you need your recovery version of the Old Testament if it has the footnotes. Please take it out. Recovery version, Old Testament, if it has the footnotes. If not, just hold on and we'll read it to you. No worries. And I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Okay, you got it? Now, what I want to do is show you part of the recovery version. This is also, if you have the one on your phone, it also should have this. Okay, listen, please. We don't usually talk about this, but before the chapter, I don't want to read the text. Before the chapter, there's a section that has The author. You see that?
Yes.
Well, this is easy. Who's the author?
Jeremiah.
Okay. Time of writing. Go.
The late 7th and early 6th century BC.
Right. The late 7th, early 6th. Place of writing?
Jerusalem and Egypt.
Okay. Time period covered. This is what I want to highlight with you when we look at these three books. This book covers a period of at least 42 years. That's all. Let's stop, stop, stop. I want you to note this date. 628 BC. Okay, so got it. Jeremiah began prophesying in 628, or around 628 BC. Now I want to show you the link between Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we forget that these are real people. It's not just a story. These are actual events. Who knows Jeremiah's nickname? Not Jerry. Biblical nickname. Yes, the weeping prophet. If you didn't know that, write that down. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Why? Yeah, he talked about sad things. Exactly. And you know what sad thing? The condition of God's people. The condition of God's people at the time. And God came because of idolatry. God came to judge his people, but he gave them warnings. They refused. They refused to turn. And he lamented. You know this word? He lamented over the situation. And then he even wrote a book called Lamentations. You have to think about why. Oh, yeah. Lamentations. Sounds so nice. Lamentations. It means crying. It means weeping. Sadness. So Jeremiah, you know, he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. He spoke to warn God's people. And you know what? Even the king would not listen. Even the leader of God's people told him, stop talking like this. And put him in prison for speaking the truth. Because when things were coming, that God said, if you don't repent, God will carry you, the peoples away. And when the armies were coming, he told, God sent Jeremiah to tell the people, give yourselves up and you'll live. Give yourselves up. Don't fight. Well, of course, if the king doesn't believe that, he says, what are you doing? You're weakening the morale. Shut him up. So they put him in prison. He says, if you fight, you will die. If you give yourselves up, you'll be carried away and live. So he was not popular. Even among God's people, he was not popular. But Daniel's story begins in 605 BC. He was around 17 years old when he was carried away into Babylon. So he was born around 623. Remember, the years go backwards in BC. So what does that mean? He was born 5 years after Jeremiah started. All his growing up, Jeremiah was warning, warning, warning. Why don't you turn to Daniel? Turn to Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And look here at the time period covered. What does that say? A period of 72 years. Some versions, depending on what printing, say 68. Some say 72 years. Go ahead. From? Yeah. Okay. See here, I have 605. You might have 607. That's okay. That's why 606?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's why we say around. Around. It's give or take a year or two. But the recovery version itself, the updated one is the one that one with 606. Sorry. So it might be a year off, but my point is the same. Daniel was born into the ministry of Jeremiah. And so was Ezekiel. Let's look at Ezekiel's life. Read that. Ezekiel began to see visions in 93 when he was 30 years old. You have this in your verses that he says when in his 30th year. So he's really 29. It's his 30th year. So again, around. Did you realize that Ezekiel and Daniel, about the same age, born almost the same year? But this is what I want to highlight. You got that? Yeah. Moving on. This is what I want to highlight. Daniel mentions Jeremiah. Daniel was affected by Jeremiah. And Ezekiel mentions Daniel. Daniel, when he was in captivity, you know that story about Daniel. And he stood, listen, in Daniel 1, he stood with the word of God. They offered him the king's meat, which at that time was the best that you could get. But just because there was the possibility, listen to this, there was the possibility because of the Babylonian customs that this food was possibly offered to idols. Just that there was the possibility, Daniel refused to eat it. Why? Because of God's word. Because even when mommy and daddy were not there, he stood with God's word. He received the word from mom and dad. They must have taught him the way it says in Deuteronomy 6 that you're supposed to read the law to your children when you're walking on the way and when you're sitting down around the table and when you're going to bed and when you're rising up, you should let them know God's word. And Daniel received God's word, internalized God's word, stood with God's word, even when mom and dad were not there. And even at the risking of his life. And he read Jeremiah. Because it says in Daniel, do you know the story about Daniel? About the lion's den? How many of you know that story, the lion's den? You know how he got into the trouble with the lion's den? Because those people, the other leaders, they were jealous of him. They said the only way to get him, because he was so upright, the only way to get him is through his worship of God. Because they knew he had the habit of praying 3 times a day. And you read, if you read, we're not going to look at it now, but if you read in Daniel 9, it says they kind of tricked the king. They said, oh, king, oh, you're really good. They were like, you know. And so, don't let anyone pray to anyone except you for 30 days. So he says, oh, sounds good. So he made a law, put his ring on it and all that. And then says, Daniel, and if anybody is, they'll be thrown into the lion's den. Okay, so then they came and told this to Daniel. And it says, and Daniel heard the news and then went to his room to pray. You read it. It's like that. You heard? Oh, okay. Opened the windows toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. And then they caught him. Okay, but before all that, it says that Daniel, why was he praying three times a day? It's because, toward Jerusalem, it was because he had read in the book of Jeremiah, or he had heard from Jeremiah, that the captivity would only be 70 years. And this affected him. So he said, he prayed, Lord, do what you say. Do your word. Bring your people back. And also, Solomon, when he prayed in 1 Kings 8, when they dedicated the temple, he said, whoever prays toward this land and toward this house, answer that prayer. So you see, he stood with the word of God when it was not popular. And especially, he stood with the prophet that was not popular at the time. Not just the word of God in general. He stood with Brother Jeremiah. Even when God's people, God's own people rejected. And you know what, young people, you may find that. You may find that there are believers who do not stand absolutely with God's word in several things. Don't let that be an excuse to you. You have to stand for God's word.
Amen.
And Ezekiel, if you get into Ezekiel, actually, not only does he reference Daniel, but if you put Ezekiel and Jeremiah next to each other, there's many things that are just on the same line. On the same line. They stood with God's word when it was not popular to stand with God's word. And today, young people, there are issues. You brought some things up this morning with your, and also in your afternoon group times. You know what I'm talking about. There are things today that are against God's word. And you just have to decide, do I stand with God's word or not? Do I stand with God's word? How can God use you for his move if you're not standing with his word? I want to read something to you, a testimony. Actually, this is not the version that I wanted to read to you. This is an incident that happened in the 1520s. In the 1520s in Austria. This was the time of a move of the Lord. It was a real move of the Lord that history calls the, listen to this, Anabaptists. You know Baptist? Baptism? You know, today there's the so-called Baptist Church, John the Baptist. This is the A-N-A Baptists, Anabaptists. In Greek, Anna is again. So this just means baptized again. So, you know, throughout the course of history, the Catholic Church began to have the practice of infant baptism. How many of you know what that means? Infant baptism. Okay, so if you're born in the Roman Catholic faith, and they're not only that one, there are other faiths too, like that, then you are baptized as a baby. I have relatives that did that. They're baptized as a baby. But the Bible says in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So the order is believe and then get baptized. They practice baptized, and then you get older and get confirmed. Confirmation. But if you want to stand with the Bible, you have to be baptized after you believe.
Amen.
Let me tell you, I've been going to Russia for about 19 years. This is a very big deal there. Because in the Russian Orthodox Church, they practice the infant baptism. So when we go there and preach the gospel, for someone to make the decision to be baptized, it's a big deal to their family. So anyway, I want to read this again from the 1500s. This move of the Lord, they saw from the word, this group of people in Europe, the way, the real baptism. So they started to practice the real baptism. They started to practice. But this was against the law. This was against the law. Because the Roman church mixed with the politics. And there was a kind of a control by the Catholic Church. Okay, so listen to this. In the year that Blaurock, it's a person, was burnt, Hooter was in a meeting for breaking bread when it was surprised by soldiers. 14 brethren and sisters were arrested, but the rest escaped, and Hooter among them. In constant danger, he went about reconciling differences, encouraging the suffering, preaching the word. Persecution was so severe that many fled into Moravia, where for a time they had liberty. But the frontiers were closely watched to prevent any from getting away, and arrangements were made with the Venetian government on the other side to prevent the hunted men and women from escaping in that direction. All over Austria, there was a great spread of the gospel, and numerous churches were founded, which, after long and heroic suffering, were scattered and crushed by persecution. In Tyrol and Gertz, 1,000 persons were burnt, beheaded, or drowned. That's 1,000 of our brothers and sisters who are now, what it says in Hebrews, the great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, encouraging us, finish the race. We finished our lap. Please run your lap faithfully. And especially the last lap. Everyone's waiting for the last lap. Young people, you might be in the generation of the last lap. In Salzburg, this is the part. In Salzburg, a meeting was surprised in the house of a pastor and a large number put to death. One girl of 16 years old, stirred such pity by her youth and beauty that all begged for her life. But as she would not recant, see, they were telling her, you have to recant. You have to say, not that I don't believe in Jesus, not that. But just say this, my baptism was wrong. That's all you have to say. My baptism was wrong. But as she would not recant, the executioner carried her in his arms to a horse trough, you know, where they feed the horses, and held her under the water. I read three different accounts of this. In one account, it says, when he carried her and he saw that she saw the water, she laughed. In another account, it says, he put her head under the water, and the crowd, the town, you know, the town's in, it's not that big. And there's like a town square that this was all. And the town gathered around, and that's where everyone was pleading for her life. He held her under the water and pulled her up and told her, recant. She says, I cannot. So he did again. And then again, up. And she refused again. And then the other account, which is much more descriptive than this, talks about how she fought until her body went limp. Held her under the water until she was dead, and then laid the lifeless body on the flames. There is no way to know anything more about this 16-year-old sister. But I read this more than 20 years ago. I read this. And when I came to this part, I had to pause here to think about this little girl, my young sister. And with the desire, Lord, I don't know that test. I've passed my test. I don't know if I could pass that test. This was not to deny the. This was to recant baptism. Would you? It's very hard to say. But that's just one item of the Word of God. And she stood with that word. She stood with the Word of God. This little sister has inspired me for 20 years. Oh, I do hope that in the kingdom, because I know she's there, I hope I could make it there to meet her. I would like to know her and thank her. Young people, throughout the course of history, this is just one story. Throughout the course of history, there are young people who have stood with the Word of God, even when it was not popular to do so. I just wanted to encourage you with that. It's not just in the Old Testament story in the Bible, Daniel and them. Throughout the course of history, there have been people like you, and in some cases, younger than you, who stood with God's word. Like I said, they are now the cloud of witnesses. She's there. Maybe she knows what we're doing here tonight. Maybe she would say, they're talking about me. And she would, go on, finish your lap so we all can be free. I want to read something else to you. Two weeks ago, a brother that grew up among us passed away at the age of 23. At the age of 20, maybe still 19, he found out that he had cancer. He grew up with some of the saints here. And he's gone. He finished his course. We talk to you, end of the age. But actually, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And it's very illogical, or I don't know what the right word is, that young people that I have served can already be gone. But there are at least five. There are at least five. And two who were my companions when I was in high school, gone. So we don't know. We don't know what lies ahead of us or how much time we have. But I want to read something that he wrote. I don't know exactly. Do you know when he put this on his blog, Dennis?
End of January.
This year. You know, I was in Australia the last week in December until January 1st. And on the 31st, for me, I got a message from his sister to say that he was back in the hospital, it's not looking very good, and that he was asking to see us. Of course, I was on the other side of the earth. I couldn't come right away. And I thought that by the time I got back, he might be gone. But the Lord gave him 91 more days. 91 more days. And so, in those extra 91 days, he wrote this. God has a purpose on this earth, and I know that somehow and in some way, I was part of this purpose, and I put my trust into him. That was spoken by one of you facing his death. That showed he took in God's purpose. He took it in. Something that was very real to him. We hope, brothers and sisters, it doesn't take something like that to make God's purpose real to you. But you know what? Our brother, he's also in the cloud of witnesses, saying, go on, finish the race. Maybe two more verses. Yeah, two more sets. So faith comes out of hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I heard about questions from someone in this room from this morning in 9th and 10th grade. I think what you wrote impacted the serving saints very much. We appreciate your honesty. We hope that you always could realize you can be that transparent and honest. But we had two young people just very honestly say, I'm losing my faith. It's been, I think somebody wrote like a year or something, and I don't know what to do, and I just from what I see, this is not going to end well. I'd like to tell you, and I tell all of us, faith comes from the Word of God.
Amen.
Just read. Just read. The Bible can meet your need. Of course, you also are in the body of Christ. So you can seek fellowship. You can seek fellowship too. But it would be a great help to read. In Romans, it talks about the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures. There's such a phrase in Romans 15. I think it's verse 4. The endurance. The Word of God can give you endurance to keep going and encouragement. Faith comes by hearing. But you have to read. you're reading, read out loud. Then you can read and hear at the same time. You need the Word of God. Also, you need the meetings. Don't stay away from the meetings, because in the meetings, you also hear the Word of God. Let's read these three verses to conclude. Go. In the King James, it says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart." Hidden in my heart. Here it says, treasured up. These three verses, on the day that I got baptized when I was 12, my sister gave me a gift of a new Bible. It's not this Bible, but I have that in my study at home. And she wrote these three verses in that Bible. These three verses have kept me for a long time. Treasure up the word. Treasure up the word. Hide it in your heart. It will keep you from going astray. How about we have some prayers, and then you have about 30 minutes for your sharing. How about we pray personally for a little bit first? Just pray by yourself. Everybody pray by themselves. How about now we pray together, but just pray one sentence and let another pray and another pray. Just pray out one sentence. Amen. Let's call the Lord's name first and then just pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, I choose you.
Amen.
Amen.
some sharing. How about let's give first dibs to the seniors.